chapter 10, if you will, and you might want to have a pen handy or a pencil if you have one, and make some notes tonight along the way in various at various points. You might want to have something handy to write on tonight. The last verse in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis, and I'll read through verse 8 of chapter 11 concerning the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the North American Union and rebuilding the Tower of Babel, and that is what we're witnessing in the day in which we live. It is God's will for nations to be free and independent. God told the descendants of Noah, by these were the nations divided in the earth. God wants nations to be divided, not to be united as they were at the Tower of Babel, and not as they are in the day in which you and I live, as such is the United Nations and all of its subsidiaries. Nations are to be divided. And he told the descendants of Noah, "I want you to go from the east to the west, the north and the south. I want you to go into different directions, because it is my will that you replenish the earth. I don't want you to congregate in one place," as they did in the very next chapter. The devil's idea is just the opposite from God's idea. The devil's idea is that nations would come together. And so this crowd came together, and under the leadership of Nimrod, they built a tower in rebellion against God's will, in rebellion against God Himself. The whole earth was of one language, and so God responded to that by coming down and destroying the Tower of Babel, and then giving mankind different languages. That did the trick. It is human nature to congregate with those whom we can have something in common with, and speak with, and have the same language with. And so those of the same language took off in different directions, and so therefore the earth was to be replenished, which was God's original idea and God's will for that to be done. And so I've divided the message up tonight into two points. The first point will be the fact that we are citizens of the United States. We are citizens of a country here on earth. Secondly, we are citizens of heaven. And we're going to look at this North American Union. We're going to look at this from these two perspectives. And first of all, we'll look at it as a citizen of the United States. God has placed it in the heart of man. to be patriotic to their own country. And so every nation on the earth, every nation, the people are patriotic to their own country. That's God's will. God has placed it in the heart of man to be so. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Psalm 33 says. And so regarding the signing of the Declaration of Independence and our own country and its beginnings, regarding the signing of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams said, quote, "Independence Day will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. The signers of the Declaration of Independence endured the sacrifice of toil and blood, and pertaining to their lives, and these signers, these 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, the writer, the author, David Limbaugh, said of those 56 men, that signed the Declaration of Independence, he said 9 of them died in the Revolutionary War of wounds or hardship. 5 were captured by the British and imprisoned with brutal treatment. Several lost wives, sons, or entire families. One man lost 13 children. 2 wives were brutally treated. All were at one time or another victims of manhunts. 12 had their homes burned. 17 lost everything they had. Our nation's birth certificate was purchased at a very high price. And rightly did Thomas Jefferson say, and invoke God's name 4 times in the Declaration of Independence, "Without God, our struggle for freedom would have surely failed." The question is tonight, how long can we maintain our independence? The forces of globalism dominate both political parties, the Republicans and Democratic Party alike. Ever since the days of Woodrow Wilson and the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have tried to outdo themselves, and who could give this country away first? The forces of globalism dominate most corporations. Most corporations today are international corporations. They're not nationalist. Walmart employs over 1 million people worldwide. 4, General Motors and Chrysler all are international corporations. It's impossible to buy an American car anymore. They don't make such a car. The car that you drive has parts made all over the world. WorldNet Daily, Human Events, Newsmax.com, New American Magazine, and a host of others report that on March 23rd, 2005, President Bush met with President Vicente Fox of Mexico and then Prime Minister of Canada, Paul Martin, at Waco, Texas, Baylor University, and at the Texas Ranch. And there they made an agreement to surrender the sovereignty of the 3 countries and form a new nation by 2010 called the North American Union. President Bush organized over 20 working groups or committees to facilitate the merger of the United States, Canada, and Mexico into one country. without internal borders. The security perimeter around these three countries will be around the outside of the countries. All internal borders will be abolished. Committees right now, as I speak, are working on such problems as the merger of airlines, the merger of the military, the merger of business and trade, the merger of police and law and courts. This is not secret information. It's on the government's own websites. And by the way, while I'm thinking of that, the Department of Commerce website is spp.gov. That is the Department of Commerce, in which they list, point by point, a denial of everything that's going on. Jerome Corsi is an investigative journalist. And Jerome Corsi has filed a Freedom of Information Act document that, in which over 1,000 pages of government documents have been released to him. And he says, while they're denying it on spp.gov, hundreds and hundreds of meetings have been going on secretly and are still going on of these committees who are merging these three countries. And so while on one hand the government is denying it, on the other hand they're going ahead and doing it. For more than 2 years, this has been going on under the radar. And what President Bush has done is to make an end run around the American people in Congress. And without congressional approval, and without the approval of the American people, he has, by executive fiat, began to form a new nation. And that's being done by a web of regulations. He has instructed the bureaucracy of the United States government to form such a web of regulations that by 2010, the merger will be completed. When I think, as an American citizen, when I think of the men who died on Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima and the men who died on Normandy in World War II for this country, when I think as an American citizen of American soldiers who froze to death in their foxholes in Korea for this country, and when I think as an American citizen of the American soldiers who left their blood in the rice paddies of Vietnam for this country, and when I think of as an American citizen of the American soldiers who tonight are being blown apart in the Middle East for this country, and all the while the politicians are giving the country away, George Bush could not have done this by himself. I'm getting tired of the Kennedys, and I'm getting tired of the Clintons, and I'm getting tired of the McCains, and I'm getting tired of the Bushes, and all of them ought to be arrested and put on trial for treason against this country. Centerpiece of the plan to merge the three countries is a quarter of a mile wide superhighway called the Corridor. It is called the Corridor. On the American side, it'll begin in Laredo, Texas, and it'll end north of Duluth, Minnesota. It'll roughly follow I-35 with legs going out across your area here, south of Chicago, ending up in Windsor, Canada, where the Canadians will continue it on, and over to the western side as well. The Mexicans will continue the superhighway from Laredo, Texas, down to Lerezo Gardena, a port city in southern Mexico. Ships from China, laden with goods made by slave labor in China, will unload their goods in southern Mexico, Mexican truck drivers, bypassing the Teamsters Union, bypassing the longshoremen's unions of the West Coast, will take these goods up this superhighway into the rest of North America, where Walmart and Target and Penny's and Sears and all the rest of them and Macy's and all the rest of them will cut their shipping costs. There is an element of money here involved. Follow the money. The superhighway will have 10 lanes in all, and it'll have 5 lanes north, 5 lanes south, 2 rail components, one for freight, one for passengers. In the middle of the highway will be oil lines, gas lines, telecommunication lines. It has been contracted by a Spanish company called Cintra, owned by the King of Spain. The stakes are already in the ground, no matter what SPP.gov says. The stakes are in the ground in the first leg, which is will be started at Laredo. Probably less than 10% of the American people know about this. Outside of these people on the internet, outside of going to North American Union, Googling that, there is G. Gordon Liddy has had several programs on this. Neil Bortz says it's a done deal. It's already over, according to him. Well, where's the oracle of truth, Rush Limbaugh? I want to know when Katie Couric is going to put her 2 cents worth in, tell us all about the North American Union. When's the USA Today going to have this on the front page? I've been looking ever since June at the USA Today to see when this is going to be on the front page. You see, the media is controlled in this country. The media is very tightly controlled. It's like the president of CBS said some years ago, we will tell you what the news is. Evidently, they don't think this is news. Where's Jerry Falwell? Where's Hagee? Where's all these big-time preachers? Where's Dobson? Where's all these big-time preachers? If I know about this, don't you think they know about it? The United States Constitution, as a result of the North American Union, will be abandoned. Look at the European Union. They are the model for the rest of the world. The rest of the world will follow the European Union's model. We'll have a new constitution based upon international law and the UN Charter. A 15-member parliament will run the North American Union. 5 members from Mexico, 5 members from Canada, 5 members from the United States. They will have supreme authority. Their rulings will be the law of the land. A large Social Security building is being built in Mexico City. 100 million Mexicans are about to be brought into the Social Security system, along with the 20 million that's already here, illegally. 30 million Canadians are going to be brought into the Social Security system. Mexican workers are going to be given affirmative action. Millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs, as some of my friends already are, because the Mexican will work for half of what an American will work for. Simple as that, just simple economics. Spanish and English are going to be recognized as the official language of the NAU. It already is. Have you ever made a phone call lately? Press 1 for Spanish, press 2 for English. We're already a bilingual country. You can't get a job in Miami, Florida without speaking both languages. You can't get a job along the border of Mexico without speaking both languages. We're already bilingual. Now let me tell you something. It is a blessing for an individual to be bilingual. It is a blessing to be able to speak 2, 3, sometimes 4 languages. But it is a curse for a country to be bilingual. No great power has ever been bilingual. Because God says, I'm going to divide people. And I'm going to divide people by language. It's not going to be something that unifies them. It's going to be something that's going to divide them. That's the way it was in chapter 11 of Genesis. And friend, it hadn't changed. Actually, we'll have three languages. Up in Quebec, they have steadfastly refused to learn English and go English. So we got French to contend with. You got French, you got English, you got Spanish. So you better sign up for your language lessons. The North American Union is going to join the European Union, and the Asian Union by 2013 is going to be formed. The three major subdivisions of the planned global governance systems as envisioned by the Rockefeller family and in their creation of the Trilateral Commission. Mr. Globalist himself, David Rockefeller, and his entire family have always been globalist. A new currency is going to be introduced called the Amero. Now here's how they did it over in Europe, and most likely they'll follow this pattern. They will introduce the Amero. And you will have your choice. They will not take your dollars away from you. They will not take your pesos away from you. They will not take your loonies away from you. They will say, you have your choice. You can deal in Ameros, or you can deal in dollars, or you can deal in pesos, or so forth. But what's going to happen is, and they know this is going to happen, is it's going to gradually become more convenient to deal in numeros. Everybody's going to be on the same page. And so it's gradually going to become more convenient to deal in numeros, and the dollar is going to fall away gradually, the peso is going to fall away gradually, and the loonie is going to fall away gradually. That's how it worked out in Europe, and that's how it's going to work out here. Eventually, we'll all go on a one-world money system, and that has already been named, and it is to be called the Phoenix. This is just regional government we're talking about here. This is one step towards global government, but it is not total global government. It is regional government, and the next government that's going to be formed is a whole Western Hemisphere. 2026, 20 years from now. From Prudhoe Bay to the end of Chile will be one country with no internal borders, only borders around the Western Hemisphere. Next will be total world government. No borders anywhere. The Council on Foreign Relations. I've been preaching on the Council on Foreign Relations for 20 years, and all I've gotten from the American people is a big yawn. One guy up in New England, when I preached on it, says, "Do they really exist?" I said, "Why don't you call them up? They're at the Pratt House in New York City." We've been so brainwashed by the media, by the public school system and the university system in this country, that we've been so dumbed down that we can't even think. The Council on Foreign Relations, which meets at the Pratt House in New York City, has published a blueprint called the Security and Prosperity Partnership for the North American Union by 2010, and it calls for ending American sovereignty and the overthrow of the American government, which has been the idea all along. And Americans thought this was a fairy tale. And they wanted to go back to the NFL football game. Forget all about the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and all the rest of the crowd that's trying to destroy this country. The only mainstream newsman to voice his opinion on this is Lou Dobbs of CNN. And he did so for 4 minutes. He had a 4-minute program on June the 4th, 2006. Lou Dobbs, CNN. And I'm going to quote what he said. You can read this on the internet. They've got the text of this on the internet. They did have the whole thing on there. They did have, you could view this for a while, but then CNN filed a lawsuit against YouTube and they had to take it off. But you can still read the text, as far as I know. Here's the text. Quote from Lou Dobbs. "You know, I was asked the other day about whether or not I really thought the American people had the stomach to stand up and stop this nonsense from a group of elites." He calls them a group of elites. I call them the global Illuminati elite. This word Illuminati comes from the root word Luciferian. Lucifer was a bearer of light for God once. And the Illuminati is enlightened. So Luciferianism gave birth to Illuminism, and Illuminism gave birth to communism, and they're all the same thing because they had the same father, the devil, and they're all in the same family. So you just pick one of those and you'll be right. You can call it anything you want to, as long as you pick one of those. They're Luciferians, devil worshipers. They're the Illuminati. They call themselves the enlightened. They are communist. From this group of elites, Lou Dobbs says, an absolute contravention of our law and of our Constitution and every national value. And I hope and I pray that I'm right when I said yes. But this is beyond belief. On the same program, Bill Tucker, also of CNN, Bill Tucker, quote, "The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader plan." President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took this step without the approval from either the United States Congress or the people of the United States on June 4th, 2006. That was said on CNN. These two men work for Ted Turner, arch Illuminati globalist, and he had them shut up right after that. You won't hear another word from them about the North American Union. That's the only program they had on air. So they were silenced. For now, that is. Listen, the Mexican people and the Canadian people are not our enemies. Our enemies are in Washington and New York City. That's where our enemies are. The Mexican people and the Canadian people are just like us. We're all being herded into a new world order by this bunch of globalist Illuminatis. Ancient monarchs understood the transformational power of mass migration. When the mighty Assyrian Empire conquered Israel in 722 BC, they resettled the land with people who had never heard the truths of God. Soon, the blend of local residents with new settlers shifted the people's loyalties to new gods and rulers. This strategy still works today. It is being used now to destroy what's left of the Christian heritage of the United States. As millions flood into our country, people with little or no concept about freedom or our Christian roots or our Christian heritage. Not only should we look at this from the viewpoint of an American citizen, but we've also got to look at it from this viewpoint as a citizen of heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 21 in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." But before that, there must come a vast amount of destruction and a great deal of turmoil. And whenever we look at the suicide of America, and that is what is going on right now, we're in the midst of the suicide of America. We must understand that it is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. turning your Bibles to Daniel 7, verse 7 and 8. Daniel 7, verse 7 and 8. Daniel is the only prophet in the Bible that gives us a chronological order of end time events. None of the rest do that. Daniel does do that. In Daniel 7, verse 7, the Bible says, "After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped with the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 7 is talking about the end time power, the last world power in the end time. And the thing you have to notice is two things. It is strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It's going to be very strong. It's talking about the end time power under Antichrist. And it goes on to say, and it had 10 horns. Biblical writers, whenever they were writing on prophecy, would use the horn as a symbol for kings or kingdoms. They are synonymous. Kings or kingdoms. They use that as a symbol. In 1993 through 1996, under the radar again, quietly, the world was divided into 10 regions of nations. Nation number one is North America. Nation number two is Western Europe. Nation number three is Japan. Nation number four is Australia, South Africa, and the lesser developed world. And number five is Eastern Europe and Russia. And number six is Latin America. And number seven is North Africa and the Middle East. And number eight is Tropical Africa. And number nine is South and Southeast Asia. And number 10 is China. That covers the whole world. All of the more than 100 nations in the world are in those 10 groups of nations. And then the Bible goes on to say in the next verse, verse 8, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." That is the Antichrist. He's called the little horn. "Before whom were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things." And so as Antichrist comes on the scene, even though he comes as a man of peace, he is going to use violence at some measure from the very beginning, because right out the gate, he is going to destroy three of these regions of nations that were just named. We do not know which three, but they're going to be destroyed. We're living in perilous times. That word perilous means dangerous. Very dangerous times. I don't know what's ahead. Hey, I know the Bible says this is going to come about. Is it going to come about in 2010? That's the goal. But maybe it won't. Maybe the American people will rise up. Maybe they'll wake up. 90% of them don't even know anything about the North American Union right now. One of these days, Katie Couric is going to come on your television set. And Katie is going to tell you all about the North American Union. And when that day comes, rest assured that the greatest propaganda campaign in American history has begun. And we're going to be told all about how we'll be more prosperous. The Mexican people will be more prosperous. The Canadian people will be more prosperous. Americans are going to be more prosperous if we all just join together and pool our resources. And we're going to be more secure. When those boats offload communist China, down in Lorenzo Gardena, southern Mexico, when they unload their goods, they will not be checked until they hit Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri is the hub of that highway. They're setting up on Liberty Street in Kansas City. They're setting up a Mexican headquarters for the import of all these goods into North America. It's an inland port, not down in southern Mexico, not on the coast, but in the heart of America. It'll make the war on terrorism impossible to win. It'll go on until Jesus comes. Man, under the direction of Satan, is rebuilding Babel. The New World Order is Babel. You can find lots of information at WorldNet Daily. Every two or three days, that is edited by a Christian and a Jew. And it's not a Christian website, but the fellow who is editor there happens to be a Christian. And you find a lot of information there about this particular subject. Every two or three days, they've got some article on there. So you check in with that. If you want to look at it biblically, cuttingedge.com is a good website. David Bay is an independent Baptist. He's the editor of Cutting Edge. Now let's turn over to Revelation. Revelation 17. And John expands on this. Revelation 17 and verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. That's a conspiracy. The Bible teaches the conspiratorial view of history. It does not teach the accidental view of history. We are taught in public school systems that history is accidental. World War II just happened to be. The Great Depression just happened to be. World War I just happened to be. That's nonsense. People make things happen. And people are motivated by the two great forces of the spirit world, God and Satan. God uses people and Satan uses people. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These leaders of these ten regions of nations, evidently world government will not be formed until the Antichrist comes. That's the way I read it. Because Daniel mentions the Antichrist coming right after the ten regions of nations are formed. And so here, the ten regions of nations are giving their power to the beast, the Antichrist. He is not seizing their power. He is just simply receiving their power. Why is it that they're doing this? Well, verse 17 throws a little light on the subject here. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And so God is placing it in their hearts to fulfill His will. He's going to make them do it. It doesn't matter what they want to do. Because God's will is supreme. God's will is going to be done. And they will agree to that. The definition of a conspiracy here that we see, a definition of conspiracy isn't to act in harmony toward a common end. And that's what these ten leaders do. They act in harmony toward the common end of giving the Antichrist power so that he becomes world dictator. Because God has things in store for the Antichrist, and he will use him to accomplish his purpose. And when God is finished with the Antichrist, he will destroy him by the brightness of his coming. God is going to destroy the new world order that's now being built, that we see is very far along and is coming to a head very soon now. It might be 2011, it might be 2012. I don't know when it's actually going to come about that the NAU is going to be formed. Their schedule is 2010. Depends on what the American people do. Hey, here's what I think. Here's my opinion. I think the American people are going to buy this. I think they're going to buy it. They're going to say, look, we've got all the resources of Mexico now. We can draft all these Mexicans into the American army. Hey, we've got Canada's oil and water and gold and gas and wood. This doesn't sound like a bad deal. All I'm going to have to do is give up my freedom. But they're promising me, they're going to promise me that they're going to take care of me. And I'll be secure. And I'll prosper. And by and large, the American people is going to buy that, I think. I can be wrong. I might be wrong. I just don't see violence here. I don't see violence here. For one thing, the rest of the world has to be formed into their regions. And if they see violence in North America, it will delay the forming of those regions into their regional counterparts in their rightful place in the system. So the Illuminati wants this thing to go smoothly. They're going to pull out all the stops to make it go smoothly. How they're going to accomplish that, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Hey, don't miss this component here. Most Christian people think that the New World Order is political in nature. It is not. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. The driving forces behind the New World Order are great spiritual forces that are moving things. We're in a great spiritual war. Politics is only a side issue. Most Christian people miss that point. Recognize that we are in a great spiritual war here. And recognize the fact that we're all sinners and that Christ died for our sins. And recognize the fact that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even in these end times, God's still in the saving business. Amen? People are still being saved and will still be saved. And the gospel is to be preached. Churches are to be built. And God's work goes forward. I'm going to illustrate all this by drawing for you what it might have looked like at the first Babel. And now at the second Babel, they have not chosen a flag for North America yet. Several have been proposed. One of them is a blue flag with three gold stars. I'm going to illustrate that for you as a symbol of North America, the new Babel. Let's have all the lights out, please.